We've been talking about throughout this year, rooted and grounded in love, studying the book of Ephesians. We are reaching here today the last two verses of chapter 3, or basically the last part of the first half of Ephesians. Starting next week, we're going to go into the second half, and there's a big shift that takes place. I'll tell you more about that next week. But today, we're going to talk about being rooted and grounded in a super church. Super church! In fact, that's what we used to call kids' church. Super church. Super. Oh, this is a fun word. I got really into this word as I studied the Bible and I studied the original Greek word. I was shocked to see how frequently this super word shows up. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 is our text message. That's funny. Our text verse. We already read it, but this is what it says. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, it doesn't say the word super in there in our English translation, but trust me, it's there. Far more abundantly. Far more abundantly, God is able. Last week, we talked about God's immeasurable love, and I asked, how can you measure God's immeasurable love? It's impossible. His love is beyond. And in a similar way, we'd ask today, how can you limit God's unlimited ability? How can you limit God's unlimited ability? He's able to do far more abundantly. Far more abundantly. He's super able. Super able. Started thinking about this past week, thinking about the ability of God, thinking about how strong. We used to sing this, I used to sing this as a child, and I don't know if the children sing this anymore. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. Wow, some of you know this song. There's nothing my God cannot do. He's so big and so strong and so mighty. And I started thinking about the strength of God. And then I started thinking about the strength of me, which is not very strong, right? Yeah. It's human strength. And as I started to think about human strength, then I started thinking about animal strength. Because the weird thing is, like, animals are really strong, right? Really, really strong. For instance, the gorilla, right? How many of you have seen a gorilla? Wow. You guys have been to Africa? Where did you go see a gorilla? I read this interesting article, and I don't know how true it is because it was on the internet. But the premise of the article was, we have no idea how strong gorillas really are. Right? Dallas, how much can you bench? Pretty strong, right? I'm hypothesizing that you're the strongest of your friends. We all agree on that? No? All right. You could get maybe a good 200 pounds? Yeah? Sure. These guys are strong. And they got their little young man strength, which is nothing like old man strength, right, Jason? You're darn right. But you got, there's human strength, which is measured. How do we measure human strength? By literally, like, how heavy can I lift? Right? So gorillas, all of you who have seen gorillas, where did you see a gorilla? The zoo or the wild animal park. And all of those gorillas, they're behind glass or moats or whatever, right? We assume that the gorillas can't get out of those cages, that they can't smash through the glass. Why do we assume that? We just think we know how strong the gorillas are, but we don't actually know, because gorillas don't measure their strength by bench pressing weights. We don't have any idea how strong the gorillas really are. We have no concept. We just know they're a lot stronger than us. But they're the ones in the cage. So one of two things is possible here. Either we're that much smarter than they are, or they're that much smarter than us because they figured out how they can just have their life and have food just brought to them and they could just live in San Diego rent-free. Right? So one of them is true. So the moral of this story is, even though gorillas are massively stronger than humans, do you know what they are not more than humans? They are not more able. There's a difference between strength and ability. There's a difference between having all of the muscle mass and all of the capabilities and thinking, you know, like, hey, I can, if you're a gorilla, you can jump on out of that cage and you can run around and do whatever you want. But no, not quite, because you don't have the same human abilities, which come in the rational sense, where we begin to put two and two together and actually come up with ideas and plans and work together. Humans are, compared to gorillas, super. We're super. We're above gorillas. We're better than gorillas, but they are far stronger. So superiority, being super, does not necessarily mean in one terms, you're like for physical strength, but it means something else. And in this particular case, it means in our ability. We have a super ability. Humans are super because humans are made in the image of God. I wrote about this in the newsletter, which you should have received yesterday or will receive tomorrow. Every month, I mail you a newsletter. And in that newsletter, I take some time to write and have you, you know, you're going to actually read. It's paper, and you can look at that. Wow, it's more than a sentence. And in this, I wanted to focus in on our created difference between us and the rest of creation, or the rest of, or the different theories of how things came to be. All of this stuff with the space telescope, and you're starting to see all these different ideas, and people are out here, and they're just like, wow, look at how amazing, what an amazing cosmic chance that the dust all formed together, and after billions and billions of years, here's us, and we're all alive. And you may have the faith to believe that. I don't. I have the faith to believe the scriptures, that God intentionally, purposefully had a design in order for humanity, for human beings, that he formed us in the image of God and then breathed his spirit, his life into us. And therefore, we, as made in the image of God, are superior to every other type of creation, everything else. Why is it that we can put the gorillas in the cages and they can't put us in the cages? Yet, we've all seen Planet of the Apes. So, that's science fiction. Fiction. That's not happening. Although, I don't know. The way things are going, maybe. No, we are made in the image of God. We are superior to the animal kingdom. We are better. We are greater. We're super, superhumans. That's what we are. Because God is super. God has infinitely more ability, infinitely more power, infinitely more strength than we can possibly imagine. He is able to do far more abundantly, it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Able to do far more abundantly. When you look at this verse, far more abundantly, and you start to look at the way the different translations translate it, listen to some of these. These are really cool. God is able to do above and beyond. God is able to do immeasurably more. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. God is able to do far more abundantly beyond. God is able to do infinitely more. God is able. God is able. To him who is able to do infinitely, abundantly farther, way beyond what we can even imagine. That may sound a little bit redundant, but you know what? We like redundancy. We like hyperbole. That's why we like to say to infinity. All of you are woke and watching the Buzz Lightyear show. I see how it is. To infinity and beyond. To infinity and beyond. Way above and beyond and forever, says Buzz Lightyear. Well, what does that mean, beyond? What does that mean? Where do we get this word? The Greek word for all of these things, all of these words all stem from this Greek word, hooper. Oh, if my Tom and Nancy beloved friends, if you guys are watching this service, you get a big shout out. Hoopers. How many of you guys remember the Hoopers? Yeah, of course you do. They're in Utah, above and beyond us, because they're hooper. The Greek word hooper is the same word that we get all of these different words like hyper, super, beyond, above, over, and uber. All of those words in our English language stem from this Greek word hooper. Isn't that cool? And it kind of makes sense too when you say, I said it earlier, hyperbole, right? Hyperbole. How's that? What does that mean? Hyperbole. That means exaggerated, far and beyond what it actually is. Hyperbole. Hyper. Super. That's what it's coming from. So when you start to look for this word and you start to see it in the original Greek, because we don't get to see it in our English, wow, you see it all over. So when the scripture says God is able to do far more abundantly above and beyond, that is a Greek word, hooper ekenia. And that is the combining of two words, hooper, beyond or super, and ekenos, those, beyond those. Imagine as much as you can. Imagine the furthest reaches of the galaxy. Can you imagine that? You saw it on the James Webb Space Telescope, okay? Beyond those. Beyond that. Keep going. Keep going. To infinity and beyond. And that's what that's the beauty of these space telescopes. Wow, we can now see 14.3 billion years away. Light years away. And there's still more. It just keeps going further and further and further and further and further and further and further. Beyond, beyond, beyond. Super. Now, we love to talk about things that are super, right? All of us love super stuff. Super cool. Last week was the official Nerdvana week of the year. The mecca of nerddom is here in San Diego, and superiority and super rules the day. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Comic-Con San Diego is one of the biggest weeks of the year because every nerd in the country descends upon America's finest city to revel in super stuff, right? You go down there. I love it. My wife won't go with me anymore, so I got to take my daughter. And we will walk down downtown San Diego. We don't pay anything because that's crazy. I don't know why you guys would pay money. You walk around and look at all the people dressed up. And they're all dressed up like either super villains or superheroes. All of them. And then there's an occasional like SpongeBob, which I'm not sure. He's kind of both. Right? Is that fair? He's a superhero and a supervillain at the same time. He's weird. But we love the superheroes and we love the supervillains. There's this thing that's something inside of our hearts. Again, man is made in the image of God. So we know that inside of us, in the very depths of us, we are compelled and driven towards not even just regular humanity. We're driven towards superhumanness. We're thinking about it all the time. We want to be more than what we presently are. We want superpowers. We want to be involved in a super engagement. We want to battle super villains. It's in the heart of every person. And maybe it fades as you get a little bit older. Maybe your super villains change. Maybe you're no longer so interested in defeating the bad guys. You just want to defeat Father Time. I don't know. Right? But there's always a battle raging inside of us. Well, the Bible, likewise, tells the story of superhero and supervillain. It's all framed for us very clearly in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus says, all that is taking place on earth, every single thing, is about a battle between the ultimate supervillain, Satan, and the ultimate superhero, Jesus. Paul would say in a verse that we'll study later on in our study of Ephesians in chapter 6, says, we wrestle against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over present darkness, spiritual forces of evil. There's a super battle that's taking place. We don't need to pretend. We don't need to fake it. We don't need to put on spandex and a cape. You and I are engaged in a super battle right now. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then I got some really good news for you. I got some super news for you. Because Super Jesus and his church are inseparable. Therefore, the church is super. You are rooted and grounded in Super Church. You are super. Do you believe that? That's what Ephesians 3:20 says. To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, now and forever. The church and Christ Jesus, hand in hand. He is the head, we are the body. The church and Christ Jesus are inseparable. You cannot tear them apart. That's what the scripture says. So you're super. If Jesus is the ultimate superhero and you are connected to Jesus as his church, you are the ultimate superhero. No need for invisibility. No need for flight powers. No need to have claws, have like razor claws coming out of your fingers or hand or whatever it is. You just need to recognize the superiority that is yours in Christ. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to show you a whole bunch of super words that the scriptures say. Some of these are superpowers. Others of these are super descriptions of who we are. But it all starts with this. The church is on a super mission. The church is on a super mission. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you are on a super mission. You clearly don't believe me because you're whispering. I didn't say you're on a secret mission. This message is not going to self-destruct after you read it. No, you're on a super mission. You are. All of us. You're the part of the church. You're on a super mission. Paul says it this way, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 15 and 16. We don't boast beyond the limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done. in another area of influence. Lands beyond you. That is super lands, super places. Now, for the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this, the end of his known world was Spain. All he could think of, the furthest stretches of the imagination for him from Jerusalem was Spain. We're a lot farther than Spain today, here in Poway. I don't know how many thousands of miles, something like 7,000 miles from Spain, 9,000 miles from Jerusalem. That's super far, right? And this is the mission of the church, the mission that you and I are engaged in. If you're a believer in Christ, if you're a part of this church, then your mission, should you choose to accept it, is every person on earth. Every single person is your mission. Every single one. Think about the person that you like the least. Yeah, they're included. Think about the person that you love the most. They're included. Think about a country you've never heard of. I know, it's like, how is that possible? I don't know. It's possible. Think about countries that you've never heard of. Just imagine a map and try and imagine a place somewhere in the middle of a place that you cannot name that place. There's people there, isn't there? Okay, if you're in Antarctica, you move back up. There's only 6 people in Antarctica. But yeah, them too. Every single person. That's our mission. Every single human being, because human beings are designed in the image of God. Every human being is designed in the image of God. God has selected them, chosen them, created them, and says, I want this person to reflect my glory. Satan, the supervillain, comes around and says, nah, I don't want them to reflect your glory. I want them to give glory to me instead. So the battle is waging. God wants humans to reflect his super glory. And he's chosen you and equipped you to be a messenger of that and to bring others into that. And Satan's over here trying to pick off all of God's ambassadors. And he's doing a good job. He's doing a good job. But we're a part of a super church and we have superpowers and we get to go after those. That's what we're called to do. That's what you are called to do. I don't think some of you you're not hearing me this morning. I'm not saying that's what that person is called to do. I'm saying that's what you are called to. You. Each and every one of you. You don't get to say, oh, well, that's the pastor's job. Say, it's my job. It's my job. Do you believe this? A super mission. God is calling you to be his ambassador, to go, to make disciples of every person. Every person is our objective. How can we do it? I'm limited in my resources. How am I supposed to do that? Well, good news. The church has super provision. Super provision. You just said you were limited in your resources? Oh, no. No, we are provided. Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Running over, super overflowing provision. Notice how God brings about this provision, this super provision, is through your generosity. Give and it comes back to you. I hope you understand. Don't think, oh, I'm going to give to God because then God will give me more. No, that's not the goal. The goal is the super provision. Let me tell you, if any of you tithed last week, said, I'm going to start tithing so that God's going to make me win the lottery, there's a reason you didn't win the lottery. Okay? You don't get to twist God's arm. That's not how it works. The reason God wants you to be generous is because he wants you to comprehend and to begin to be a recipient of his overflowing provision. And he uses generosity. He uses the principles of you giving to understand how he will fill you up to overflowing. The reason why God will fill you up to overflowing is so that that overflowing can go to someone else, not so that you can hoard it all up for yourself. God will give us super provision. This is what's so remarkable about the church. The church continues for 2,000 years to spread all around the entire world. And it's all 100% funded by people continuing to give. You're the funders. But how are you funding? Because God is giving to you, and it's overflowing. Super provision. I love it. I love being a recipient of God's super provision. God keeps on providing in my life. You know that? Have you guys experienced that? The super provision of God? All right. If you haven't, keep going. I promise you, it's super provision. Not only do we have super provision, we have super help. Super help. This is another part of our faith following after Jesus, knowing he's called us to this super mission, is that there are seasons where we say, I can't keep going. I'm done. I'm spent. I'm exhausted. I got nothing left. And in those seasons, we remember we weren't called to do it on our own. We were called to do it with his help. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Intercedes for us. You know what would be actually a better word than intercedes? Supersedes. That's what the Spirit does. He comes over our prayers. You and I don't have even the power to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes, supersedes. He jumps in and helps us even in our prayers. The mission that you and I are called to is impossible on your own strength, but it's 100% possible when the Spirit is interceding with us, interceding for us, interceding on our behalf. The Spirit is driving us, compelling us, strengthening us, equipping us. We don't rely on ourselves. We rely on the Spirit. The reason we don't rely on ourselves is because ourselves, as we mentioned earlier, are sinful. We are sinners. We are prone to disobedience. We are prone to laziness. We are prone to rebellion. But he gives us more grace. The church has super grace. Super grace. There is nothing quite like walking in the grace of Jesus Christ. Grace is more than just not getting what you deserve. All of us have that experience where we're like, man, I deserve punishment. Grace doesn't stop there. It's not just avoiding punishment. Grace is not just not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. As sinners, yes, we deserve punishment. But not only do we deserve punishment, we definitely don't deserve blessing. We definitely don't deserve to be embraced by God. It would be one thing if he's like, you know what? I'm gonna let you off. You deserve to be punished, but I'm not gonna punish you. But he goes so much further. He gives us super grace. He brings us into his family. He calls you his beloved child. He has a relationship with you. Paul said to Timothy, the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Overflowed. That's another Greek super word. The grace of our Lord Jesus was super in my life. Church, are you walking in that grace today? Do you know that? Do you recognize in your heart that there's grace overflowing? Overflowing. It's super. It's above. It's beyond. If you recognize that super grace, then here's another good thing that you get from that. Super peace. The church has super peace. Wow. I think we're very prone to misunderstanding the evidence of God as the evidence of God working in someone's life as a personality trait. Right? You know that there's some people that are just always very calm and relaxed. And like, doesn't matter what kind of chaos is happening. They're like, okay, it's all right. God's in control. God's in control. And we look at someone like that and we go, man, I wish I had that personality. It's not a personality. It's not a personality. It's super peace. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in them. Paul says it this way in Philippians 4:7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace that doesn't make sense. Peace that does not live in fear. Peace that does not live in anxiety. Peace that does not live in anger and in retribution. Always thinking that somebody's against you. Always looking to get even. When you know this peace, this super peace, everybody knows that you know it. Right? And I know I'm talking to a lot of seasoned Christians here. You've walked through that before. You've been in that season where it just looked really, really, on the outside, impossible to endure. And yet you endured, and somehow you didn't just endure, you had peace. And people were like, what's going on in your life? Your life is falling apart. How can you keep going? You've had so many bad things happen to you. How can this be? And you're just like, I don't know. You've been there before. And the reason I tell you you've been there before, because some of you are there now and you're forgetting that you've been through that before. You're forgetting that you've experienced this peace that passes all understanding before. If that's you this morning, anxieties, fears, anger, resentment, battles are starting to come against you, and you're tempted to try and engage in those battles or entertain those anxieties outside of the super peace that God gives you, I'm telling you right now, don't do that. Don't fall for it. Isn't it weird that we keep thinking that, oh yeah, this time I'm going to fix it? Come on. You know this peace. It's so much better. You know the peace that passes understanding. You've had it before. You can have it again. It is yours. Just walk in it. Let God guard your heart. Let God take over those anxieties. He's so much better. And when you have that super peace, cool news, you have super joy. Super joy. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4 says, I'm acting with great boldness toward you. I have great pride in you. I'm filled with comfort. In all our affliction, I'm overflowing with joy. I have super joy even in my affliction because I have super peace. Joy is not the same thing as happiness. You can be living in a very sad time of your life and still have joy. You can be going through a lot of terrible pain in your life and still have joy. you can endure tremendous affliction and still have joy. Because joy is not determined on your circumstances. It is not a matter of what's happening to you. It's inside of you. It's inside of you. And it's inside of you by God, by the Holy Spirit. This is a superpower in you that does not dissipate on the basis of what's happening outside of you. Right? Superman is super because of what's inside of him. It's his DNA. It's his makeup. He flies around because he can fly, because it's inside of him. It's his power. Until kryptonite comes around. Oh, that's a bummer. Nobody likes those green rocks. But here's the cool thing about the super joy that's inside of you. You ready for this? There's no kryptonite. There's no kryptonite that can stop the joy of the Lord. None. None. No green rocks or blue rocks or black rocks or white rocks. There's no rocks. You've got super joy. Nothing can stop it. How cool is that? Again, some of you maybe will walk around, wait, I can have super joy? Yeah. Like seriously, yeah. You don't have to allow anything to take away your joy. Because it's from Jesus. It's in you through the Holy Spirit. It's been acquired and purchased with his blood, with the cross. Super joy. Why? Why wouldn't you? Why aren't we tapping into this? Why are we like, we're like Spider-Man when he first got his powers and he had no clue what he was doing, right? We're just bumbling around. Like, webs. What am I supposed to do with this? You have the joy of God inside of you. Use it. I'll tell you what. When you believe this, you understand your real identity. As it says in Romans 8, we are super conquerors. Super conquerors. I love this verse. It's a crazy verse. Romans 8:37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Last week, I shared a quote, or it was 2 weeks ago, from Corrie ten Boom. Did any of you guys go and read The Hiding Place after I recommended it to you? No? Oh, man. Come on, man. It's awesome. Go read the book, The Hiding Place, or watch the movie. I don't care. Corrie ten Boom, imprisoned in a Nazi camp in Germany in 1945, surrounded by filth and stench and bugs, lice, fleas, malnourished, no bathrooms, horror, watching people all around her die on a daily basis. She said it was in that time, in that place, that she finally understood Romans 8:37. I'm more than a conqueror. What? A super conqueror. How? All of your circumstances say that you're defeated. Exactly. All of my circumstances say I'm defeated, but I'm not. I'm still praising. I'm still trusting. I'm still believing. I'm still going. I'm still telling people about Jesus. My circumstances are death, but my Savior is alive. I am more than a conqueror. I'm a super conqueror. Church, that's true of you. That's true of you. More than a conqueror. Why? Through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors because the church has Jesus' super love. You have his super love, his immeasurable love, his greater love, his far above and beyond love, his love that extends to the highest mountains and to the depths of the deepest oceans, his love that goes beyond the galaxies. His super love is yours. You are more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. We just read this passage last week, Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The love of God is without end. The love of God is without qualification. You don't have to qualify for his love. The love of God is without condition. He gives it to you without revocation. It is yours. He loves you. He loves you. Jesus loves you. I don't know why you guys aren't smiling about that. Come on. Jesus, God's one and only Son, loves you. He's called you, chosen you, picked you for his team, his super team. He's equipped you, said, you get to be a part of my super mission. I want to reach every person, and I want to use you to help me do it. And as we do it, guess what we get? We get super glory. Super glory. Glory is crazy, man. It's just crazy. I know the kids are going to be doing a thing about fame in their kids' service. Fame is closely related to glory. Similar. But just like it, I think that a really good experience was of glory was at the baseball game yesterday. Because Jeff chose the seats in the sun. I don't understand it. How many of you were at the game? We had a big group, right? Yeah. How many of you said, I got to get out of this sun? Yeah. Few of you did, quitters. We're sitting in the sun, and it's not even that hot. It was only like 74 degrees. It was a perfect day. But we were like, man, this sun is filled with glory. This is a glorious sun. This is powerful. This star, soul, sending its cosmic radiation, pouring down on our fair skin, making us sweat. Glory is like that. It's hot. It's bright. It's powerful. The glory of God is indescribable. It's powerful. You can't escape it. It's amazing. There's no sunglasses that can shield you from it. If you come face to face with the glory of God, you're smoke. But he is merciful, and he poured out his glory into the man Christ Jesus. And that glory now fills our hearts, and it fills our church, and it fills God's church. And that mission that we're called to is one that is marked by glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We are called to live in everlasting glory. This life that you're in right now, just a vapor, just a mist. Here today, gone tomorrow. But what will last for all eternity is the glory of God, and you get to experience it. You will be a participant in it if you are part of the church of God. This glory belongs to you, to the church and Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. But it doesn't, you get to be a part of it, but it doesn't belong to you. Because the truth of the matter is, all glory goes to the super name, the name above all names. It all belongs to Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 9, 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is the end of the supermission. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord, all glory to God. So, church, you're super. You're super. Called onto a super mission, equipped with superpowers, so that the super glory of God will go to the name above every name, the super name of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me as I pray over you? And I believe that this super word of God will drive you to glorious ends. I'm so excited about what God is doing in this church. I am so excited about what God is doing in your life. I'm so excited about the mission of God to save the nations and how you get to play a role in it. May God continually equip you, open your eyes, give you vision for what he can do through you. I'm believing for you this week to share the gospel, to invite people into the kingdom of God, to share with them the love of Jesus. I'm believing for you. The opportunities that are in front of you, unimaginable, but you're equipped for them, and God will do great things in you. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We give you the glory that is yours. You are so good. You're super. And you've poured out that superness into us. We thank you for it. Lord, we confess our faith in you. We believe in you. And we ask that you would make clear to us how you can use us for your kingdom, for your glory, to reach the nations. Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen.